We're at the Byron Bay Writers Festival 2015 and we're talking to novelist Richard McCoo. Good morning, Richard, and welcome to Arts Canada.
It's a pleasure to be here, Karina. It's absolutely beautiful here in Byron.
Now, you're here because you've actually published your very first book, which must be a very exciting moment.
It came out in June and it's the culmination of years of work and it really is incredibly exciting. And this is the first festival I've been to as a writer, and speaking on panels, you get a real kick out of it.
Yes, it's sometimes a little bit daunting with the very first book, of course, isn't it? Because it takes many, many years to actually get it out there. Was it like that for you?
It is, and that the editorial process as well, even after you have a publishing contract, can take a year or two. And so you're kind of hanging on and hanging on with this enormous sense of expectation. And then when you finally get there, it's more relief than anything else to begin with. And then you have to go into promoting the book. You have to do radio interviews and print interviews and start talking about yourself. And that's a very unusual thing to have to start doing in the middle of your life.
Particularly as writing tends to be a very introverted process. It has to be done in a room alone without too many distractions. So that change of going out into the open and suddenly being very focused publicly on you, did you find that difficult?
In my normal day job, I'm a barrister, so I'm very used to speaking in public, but never about ourselves. It's quite strange for us. The thing that I've liked the most about it, the most satisfying thing about being published, as opposed to the writing, which is very enjoyable, but the most satisfying thing, I think, is getting to talk to people who've read the book and finding out their reactions and how completely differently people react to the same character or the same aspect of the book, and you know, what parts people really hated, what parts people really loved, and getting people to talk about and engage with them. And it's the whole point of telling a story is to get a reaction out of somebody. And that is what you get a kick out of. And that's what's fun about coming to a festival, because you meet people who've read your book.
Now, it's fun that your day job is that you're a barrister, because your book is actually about lying.
It's about a character who chooses to lie. He decides that because of a whole lot of reasons to do with the way his life is set up, the most moral thing for him to do is to be a very good liar. So he's not an accidental liar. He doesn't really do it out of circumstance. He makes a very conscious choice and he thinks that he is doing the right thing by lying. And the name of the book is Charlie's General Theory of Lying. And the core of that for him is that it doesn't matter how many lies you tell other people as long as you're true to yourself. And the book is about whether he can succeed in not lying to himself.
So have you had a chance to study up close lots of really good liars in your job?
I've found that the people who are the cleverest and the most dishonest tend to be the ones who are the best at telling stories in the witness box. I mean, that's obviously not always true. Some very honest, straightforward people also tell a completely believable story, but it's amazing how hard it is to tell whether or not somebody is lying. And that's why I hesitated when you asked me, because there are a lot of people that I thought were liars, but they tell a pretty good story.
I read some interesting research yesterday on the theory of lying, in that there is a difference between the amount of lies we tell depending on our age. And actually there's an optimum time for telling lies, which is actually the middle part of life. But children and older people actually tell only an average of one or two lies a day. But in the middle there, a lot of us lie a lot. Now, what would you ascribe that to?
Well, I don't think I can accept the premise, because I've got four children, three of them are teenagers, and the idea that they're only telling one lie a day is just completely unreal to me. In fact, even the five-year-old is pretty good at telling lies, now that I think about it. I think it's because of the social role that lying plays in lubricating social contact, in smoothing the way through. And when you're in the middle of your life, you probably have the most situations of conflict, and lying is just the best way through for a lot of people.
So in writing the book, were you trying to sort of explore the idea that lying might be a necessary part, actually, of our social construct?
I think it's assumed in the book that it's a necessary part of the social construct. What makes this character a little bit different is that he has this very well set up life for himself. He loves his wife, he loves his three children, he has a very good thing going with his girlfriend. He meets somebody new as well, and trying to keep all of that together is impossible for him without lying. Whether or not you approve of what he's doing, there's a kind of logic to the position that he comes to.
Now, how's the book going, seeing it's only been out a little while now? Are you sort of hopeful of being fairly successful?
It's a book that's meant to be entertaining. There's meant to be a lot of humour in the book. And people who've read it and have found it to be a good read have often contacted me and said how much they liked reading it. So from that point of view, I think it's been a success. As far as sales go, it's only been a couple of months and you don't get a lot of information. But the best thing the publishers told me was that It had been selling more every week than the week before. And that's a very heartening thought when you're talking about Australian fiction, which doesn't tend to sell huge numbers of books. And you wouldn't go into it to make money. You'd have to be crazy.
So I gather you're not giving up the day job.
No, I love my day job.
So can we look forward to a sequel about truth?
I'll certainly write another book. Whether or not would it ever be described as a sequel, I don't know. And I think there'll always be an element of moral scepticism in anything that I write.
Thanks for talking to us, Richard.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.